It's tremendous to be back amongst you. It's been quite a while, but it's lovely to see that most people are not square-shaped in a box, which cuts us off about there. I could probably do to still be behind the box, because I think my clothes have been through the hot wash and have shrunk rather since I last saw you. But the pandemic hasn't all been fun, has it? And it's certainly brought perhaps consciousness of types of difficulty, affliction, suffering for different people in many, many different ways. I don't know if we think about those we know or ourselves, what that has been. The wonderful thing about the scripture is that it tells us about people who have encountered and how they deal with the question of affliction. Because you see, afflictions are not excused for members of the people of God. And that's one of the things that many people in the scriptures are trying to grapple with, and no doubt we do too. So I'm going to read a psalm, Psalm 77, which is talking about the grief or the anguish, the experience of suffering of a man called Asaph. Let me read it for us and then make just a few comments that might help us. For the director of music, for Jeduthun of Asaph, a psalm. I cried out to God for help. I cried out to God to hear me. When I was in distress, I sought the Lord. At night, I stretched out untiring hands, and my soul refused to be comforted. I remembered you, O God, and I groaned. I mused, and my spirit grew faint. You kept my eyes from closing. I was too troubled to speak. I thought about the former days, the years of long ago. I remembered my songs in the night. My heart mused, and my spirit inquired. Will the Lord reject forever? Will he never show his favor again? Has his unfailing love vanished forever? Has his promise failed for all time? Has God forgotten to be merciful? Has he in anger withheld his compassion? Then I thought, to this I will appeal, the years of the right hand of the Most High, I will remember the deeds of the Lord. Yes, I will remember your miracles of long ago. I will meditate on all your works and consider all your mighty deeds. Your ways, O God, are holy. What God is so great as our God? You are the God who performs miracles. You display your power among the peoples. With your mighty arm you redeemed your people, the descendants of Jacob and Joseph. The waters saw you, O God, the waters saw you and writhed. The very depths were convulsed. The clouds poured down water. The skies resounded with thunder. Your arrows flashed back and forth. Your thunder was heard in the whirlwind. Your lightning lit up the world. The earth trembled and quaked. Your path led through the sea, your way through the mighty waters, though your footprints were not seen. You led your people like a flock by the hand of Moses and Aaron. We don't know what the suffering was. We're not told, but we know it was there. And we know that it made Asaph think, what is all this about? What is the purpose? Where is God? Has he abandoned us, and will he ever come back again? Well, I just want to draw our attention, as he does a lot of remembering. He remembers, he consciously remembers God's character and his deeds. And in particular, he remembers back to the time of the Exodus, the time when Moses and Aaron led the people of God like a flock. But the verse before that, verse 19, says this: your path led through the sea, your way through the mighty waters, though your footprints were not seen. Now, going back, it made me think of the time where they crossed, the people of Israel, having come out of Egypt, crossed the Red Sea. But just to read you two verses from Exodus chapter 13, it tells us something that had never struck me before. It says this: when Pharaoh let the people go, so they've escaped from Egypt, God did not lead them on the road through the Philistine country, though that was shorter. For God said, if they face war, they might change their minds and return to Egypt. So God led the people around by the desert road towards the Red Sea. The Israelites went up out of Egypt, armed for battle. The shortest route to the promised land would have been through the Philistine country. But the Lord suspected that the people would be nervous and would turn back. And so he led them till they had no way forward but across the Red Sea, although they didn't know at that stage that that's where they were going to go. Well, just think of that in the context of the verse I read out. Your path led through the sea, your way through the mighty waters, though your footprints were not seen. Why didn't he take them the short way? He could have overcome those people. Why didn't he go the short way? It took them 40 years to make up that time that was lost. Well, that is because very often, and I think certainly I have seen that in the last number of years, the Lord very often uses perhaps an unexpected way in order to achieve his purposes. And as I conclude, let me just read a few verses from another person who suffered a lot, from Paul in 2 Corinthians. He says this: praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of compassion and God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our troubles, so that we can comfort, for just as the flow over into our lives, so also through Christ our comfort overflows. If we're distressed, it is not for your comfort and salvation. It is for your comfort and salvation. If we're comforted, it is for your comfort, which produces in you patient endurance of the same sufferings we suffer. And our hope for you is firm, because we know that just as you share in our sufferings, so also you share in our comfort. Just like Asaph, and just like probably the people confronted with the Red Sea, they must have wondered, well, what are we doing as God's people? And life just seems so difficult. Well, it's wise to be humble and to admit that very often we don't know and won't know what the cause or what is the purpose that the Lord seeks to achieve. But in this bit of 2 Corinthians, the afflicted apostle Paul and his team reflect that there are some purposes that God has used in their suffering. And I wonder if some of these will be echoed in our hearts. That they would experience God's comfort. If you don't need comfort, why would God provide it for you? Why would you know that you need it? So it was to experience God's comfort, and that it was the God of all comfort, sufficient comfort for everything. There was no affliction that was not within the remit of this God of comfort. But secondly, it's for helping others to give us empathy. So praise be to the God and Father, the Father of comforts, etc., who comforts us in all our troubles, so that we can comfort those in any trouble with the comfort with which we ourselves have been comforted. So it's to help us, to give us an empathy for others. Maybe our suffering has done that for us. It also helps us to understand a little bit of Christ's experience. If there was anyone who didn't deserve to suffer, it was the Lord Jesus, and yet he did. It's to help us to grow in patient endurance like Christ. Until we're stretched in that dimension, we're not going to develop that patient endurance. It doesn't come naturally to us. And then finally, he says, it's to make us rely on the God who raises the dead and not on ourselves. Isn't that wonderful? It's to make us turn to him. And in our whatever sufferings the Lord may have allowed to come into our lives, it's to make us to depend on him. And I can certainly echo that I have developed perhaps a little in that area, although I no doubt will turn back as well at many times and need to relearn it. So that's something I hope which will be of comfort in the strengthening sense. It's not a comfy settee like that. It is a comfort of strengthening and fortifying.